It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Thanks so much for having me.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It is the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. You know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with a different kind of Kyle, a Kylie, actually, Kylie Rogers. The actress is part of the new A24 film called Beau is Afraid. She plays the character Tony, opposite Joaquin Phoenix, of course, directed by Ari Aster. Kylie and I are going to talk about, well, first, her first impressions after reading the script. If you've seen the movie, if you've seen any Ari Aster movie, you're in for something very different. So, very awesome, by the way. So, we're going to be talking about those first impressions. She's going to tell us about watching David Lynch's Blue Velvet to get into character, if that tells you anything extra about the whole thing. And having to be a bully to Joaquin Phoenix. And what she drank in the scene where her character has to drink paint. That's revealed in here as well. Kylie's also going to describe the time she met BTS, because she shares this love of K-pop that with her character Tony. And then we'll talk about some other things, starring in the upcoming Landscape with Invisible Hand movie. And if you're a Yellowstone fan, you'll know her as Young Beth in Yellowstone. So we're going to get into playing that character a little bit as well. But the main event is Beau is Afraid. It's Kyle Meredith with Kylie Rogers.
Hello.
Welcome and congratulations. I'm sure you're getting that a lot right now on what is one of the coolest, if not one of the most bizarre movies of the year. I know this is such a generic question, but what's this experience been for you like?
God, it's been crazy so far. I mean, I've been getting so much support from everyone, and it's so exciting. You know, we filmed it 2 years ago, so for it to finally be like coming out and happening and people are seeing it and talking about it, it's so exciting because it's such a crazy, crazy movie.
Yeah, when that arrives, and I don't know how, you know, the audition or whatever, however it landed, but what, you know, once you finally get to sink into this script, I mean, like, what's your first impressions?
I remember when I very, very first read the script, I was like, I think I was just more confused more than anything. I was like, what did I just read? Like, what just happened? I could be lying, but I'm pretty sure it was almost 300 pages or almost 200 pages, something crazy, something like, you know, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. So I had to read it. Like, I think I read it two more times. So in total, I read it three times to finally just absorb everything. And I was like, okay, I think I know what's happening now. I mean, I was so excited because I love all of Ari's work, his short films, his films, all of it. So I had so much faith in him to make it such a beautiful, smart movie, and he did.
Because I mean, once you see his name, you sort of know that whatever waters you're getting into, they're going to be very different waters.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I remember I got the audition in, you know, and it said, you know, directed by Ari Aster and starring Joaquin. And at the time, like, Joaquin was the only person attached to it when I got the audition. So I was just like, Ari Aster and Joaquin Phoenix. Like, that's crazy. I was like, okay, cool. So this is my dream.
Yeah, well, that's what I guess, you know, reading that script, and it's funny hearing you talk about it like that, like having to reread it and reread it because you know, we know that there's movie magic and we know things are going to be put together somehow. But there's, I mean, like, what kind of trust fall is that for you to say, okay, this is a script and it's probably going to turn into something?
Yeah, I mean, it was mainly just because, like, not to sound like a brown nose or whatever, but like Ari really is like one of my favorite directors, and he was still at the time. So, and I had seen literally all of his other work. So I was just like immediately like, yeah, I know, like Ari can do this, like, duh, like it's no big deal. Like Ari has this in the bag. But also Joaquin Phoenix, and like the cast was so brilliant. All like everyone, Zoe Lister-Jones, Parker Posey, and Nathan Lane, Amy Ryan, like everyone in it is so phenomenally talented. So I had so much faith in just everyone involved in this, including the crew, the cinematographer, everyone. Amazing.
Yeah, when you get a cast like that too, I mean, everybody's kind of still got to come with their A game, but when you're on a set with that many talented people, does that, what am I trying to ask here? Because I'm asking, you know, does that change the way you sort of approach how you act? But I know, you know, a person is better when their partner is better. I guess that's what I'm getting to. Like, how does that affect you in that way?
I was playing a character that I've never really played before, to like such an unhinged extent. I was so excited, but I was also so nervous because, you know, the people I was acting with were so incredibly talented. I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. But I think more than anything, it really helped me because everyone was just so into their characters and so like not afraid to go like 100% and just be weird and crazy and like creepy. So I was just like, so like, okay, awesome. Like, let's just do this. And it made the best working environment ever.
Well, I'm glad you used the word unhinged because that is the perfect way to describe some of the moments, especially that you get to experience, you know, yeah. In here as Tony. Like, where do you go to unlock that energy?
I actually watched Blue Velvet before, like, my biggest scene. Because in the character description of the audition, it said, it described Tony as Dennis Hopper if he had a TikTok. And I thought it was like the best thing in the world. And Ari was like, you should watch the movie before at some point during filming. And I was like, okay, sick. So I watched it the day of my biggest scene and it really got me into it. I was just like, yeah, let's just fucking be Dennis Hopper, I guess, if he had a TikTok account. And it was great. And I just sort of like my energy. I'd do a couple jumping jacks and maybe like, it's, yeah, I just get hyped up.
What a place to go to watch Blue Velvet. I mean, seriously, that's, you know, you hear a lot, you know, like, I want to play this song. I'm going to play, you know, my favorite song or a song that's going to match the mood, you know, throw on some Nick Cave or something before it. But like Blue Velvet, like that's like a heightened level is what that is.
Yeah. It was the first time I've ever like watched a movie to like get into character. And it was such a different experience. Yeah. I thought it was great advice from Ari.
I get that though. I mean, you know, we joke, you know, coming out of the theater, especially if you've watched something if you watch a race car movie and suddenly you're in the, you know, driving home, you're like, you want to go fast or something. Like, I get that. It's luckily I'm never faced with that in my own day where I have to get some, you know, prepare for something by watching, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour movie.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kylie Rogers. So then you get to go toe to toe with Joaquin in these moments, especially like when he's in these really vulnerable situations. Are those things that you all talk through? Like how do those moments happen?
Yeah, actually it was really awesome because every Sunday, I believe. We would, me, Ari, Joaquin, Amy, Nathan, and Denis, we would all go up to the house that we would film at, and it would just be us. And we would do like 5 hours of just like rehearsals for what's coming next, like the coming week. And it wasn't even like we were like going through the words of the scenes. We would just talk about the characters and sort of like be, and I don't know, Ari would just kind of like throw things out there and be like, I don't know, maybe she feels like this, maybe she does this, you know what I mean? And we would just kind of like spitball, and then we would go through the motions of the scenes, and it would make everything run so smooth. And, you know, everything was all talked about and pre-planned out, and but not like too over rehearsed. It was just like very, it came so naturally when we actually did film. It was the most amazing.
But with the bullying that you do, I mean, is there a little bit of residual feeling after the cameras go off? Is that something you have to sort of separate?
Bad. I remember when I first got the audition, it didn't say anything about the movie. It just said, you know, Ari as Joaquin Phoenix. And I read the sides and I thought that I was a flashback character because I thought I was bullying a little boy. Like I thought I was bullying the younger version of Joaquin because I was like, because he, you know, in the script, it kind of looks like a little boy is talking. And I was like, God, I'm so mean. But then there's an especially mean scene where we're in a car together. And in the moment, you know, you feel bad, but you're acting. But when I was actually watching it, when I saw the movie and I saw that scene, I was like, ew, I'm so mean. I was like, oh my God, like, who is that? Like, oh my God, I was scared. Yeah, I don't know. I felt bad, but it was all in a day's work.
Sure. And, you know, he's used to that, you know, from the stuff he puts himself through, too. And speaking of specific moments, there's a scene where you're drinking paint.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
Yogurt. I was drinking, I think, coconut milk yogurt, and it was so nasty, and I wanted to throw up, but I think I only actually like choked. It like was going up my nose. Like I was actually choking. It was bad, but I mean, it was like fine, but it was like, oh. But what was the worst about it? I only had to do it 3 times, but the worst thing about the yogurt was the next day when they were filming, and I came to set for like a brief thing. But they were like, Kylie, go into that room. And I went to the room and it like reeked of yogurt. Like it was so bad, like moldy yogurt. I was like, ooh, like the room smelled so bad. It like marinated. It was a great experience. I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't like recommend like, you know, go chug like melted yogurt. But it was once in a lifetime opportunity.
So that's it right there. That's the beauty of like being an actor, right? Because what other job? You know, and you have these examples all the time, but what other job? It's like, okay, today we've got this scene and this is how we're going to do it. And this is what you get to drink. And you're like, I'm here for it. I'm signed up. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. I guess I'm doing this.
Yeah, those moments right there. There are, from what I understand, some parallels though with your actual life, because your room is decorated in K-pop posters.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back. You've met BTS. There's a picture out there. Like, is this coincidence, first off, that this is part of the character?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea, because I got the part and I had a Zoom with Ari to talk about the character, like a couple days after I got it. And he was like, yeah, like I was initially going to make her like a stereotypically like just like weird kind of girl. Like, you know, she's always like wearing like sort of like big hoodies and like always has her hood up. And it's just like, but he was like, and he was like, but I just kind of want to make her like a normal teenage girl because they're the worst. Not like all teenage girls, but like teenagers in general are pretty mean. And he goes, they're so, you know, they're mean. So I was like, why would I make her like stereotypically weird when like the best answer is right in front of me? It's like a normal girl who listens to K-pop. And I was like, she listens to K-pop, Ari? And he was like, yeah. So I don't know if it was coincidental or if he saw that I met BTS and was inspired. I have no idea, but I thought it was so funny when I walked into the room and it was like covered in like K-pop band posters. It was hilarious
because there's the subtext you're hoping like that he's not calling you a bad person from the very beginning. You know why? You're perfect for this role, dot dot dot.
Exactly. Also, like, imagining Tony listening to K-pop is like the funniest thing like I could ever think of, because she's so unhinged and K-pop is so like a majority of the songs are like so happy and upbeat. Like imagining her like being a K-pop fan is so funny to me.
So what's your BTS story? I've got to hear it.
I think I was like 12 when I got like into K-pop. I got into it because I was watching, there's this one YouTube channel, like Kids React or something, and they reacted to K-pop music videos, and I was like, what is this? And it was a band called GOT7, actually. It wasn't BTS that got me into it. It was GOT7. But anyway, no one knew what it was. Like, no one, like, when I was listening to it, like, I would be like, people would ask what kind of music I listen to. And I'd be like, oh, I like K-pop. And they'd be like, what even is that? Like, literally, it was crazy. I was like, how do you not? It's, what do you mean? Like, what? It's, I don't know. It's crazy to me. And then my friend who I worked with on Fathers and Daughters, Russell Crowe, who really became sort of like another dad to me, he bought me BTS tickets, concert tickets for my birthday. And I think, I don't know why I did this. Charlie Puth tweeted, I heart BTS. And because like no one knew what K-pop was and no one really talked about it, I got so excited and I commented on Charlie Puth's Twitter and I was like, same, with like a heart. But because I'm verified, the comment stuck to the very top. So everyone saw it. And then I started like trending that like some random like verified actress on Twitter liked BTS. And because K-pop, no one really knew what it was. Like it was like a big thing. And then their publicist DM'd me and was like, hey, like, would you want to meet the boys before you go into the concert? And I was like, yeah. But it was actually the most terrifying thing because, and I don't think anyone knows this, but to meet them, you went underground. And then they were just stood, like the longest hallway you could imagine, they were stood at the very, very end of it. And I, like 13 years old, I had to walk slowly, like walk towards them. And they're all going, Kylie, like we saw your tweet. And I was like, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. But it was great. They're all so sweet. Yeah, great experience.
Yeah, that walk becomes suddenly a mile just to get to them.
Yes! It felt so long. It felt like when you're in a dream and like the hallway just keeps getting longer and longer. And I was like, oh my God.
I remember when I first discovered, and it was probably after you even, but because I was in K-Town in New York and went in one of the shops and they had all the cardboard cutouts of some of the members. And so that, I think that was my introduction, like not even musically. It was like a piece of cardboard person. But then... I'm not saying anything that everybody doesn't know now, but it's such a world. Like, it's not just a band or a group, and it's not just a song. It's a world.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people still don't really recognize that. I think now with, like, TikTok and, like, other K-pop groups are, like, trending with their music, more people know. But, like, I think a lot of people still don't know that, like, there's a whole world outside of like BTS. Like, there's, like, so many. And it's been going up for, like, decades. Yeah, it's really fun.
And it's like a big game show. It's like a big music game show where you just have new groups all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's insane. I'm like, what? Like, how do you? And they work so hard. It's like unbelievable. They work like their hours are insane.
Are you still a listener? Is that still your lane?
I listen to like some of the, like, if I'm feeling nostalgic, I'll like put on like one of my old playlists and be like, oh, this is like fun. But I don't keep up with new music so much. Unless it's like trending on TikTok and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, I like this. I do like to keep up with like the drama though still, because I think it's like, it'll come up on my Instagram feed and I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that. But I'm not so much into K-pop anymore, but I do watch K-dramas a lot. They're so interesting. I think they're so great. That's my thing now.
That's it. That makes sense. It in the way that you said that you're surprised that Tony would like K-pop, I'd be a little surprised if someone who stars in an Ari Aster film is into K-pop still. Which is not saying anything about K-pop. That's just one of those like you're doing such like, interesting roles.
Worlds that don't really like go together.
Right. It's like at this point, you know, I see the stuff that you're doing and it's like that doesn't make sense musically in my head. Of course, you know, we contain multitudes, so you know, whatever, need to each their own. But yeah, that's so you know, if you were to listen, I'm gonna put you on the spot, and I hate when people do this to me. If you're gonna listen to something today, what are you gonna listen to?
Like what I listen to now. I love the Eagles, I love Bob Dylan, I love the Smiths and the Strokes and the Frights. I love the Frights right now. They're my favorite. I just listen to like band music. I don't know. Oh,
you hit on like, you know, half a dozen of my favorite bands right there. So that's their artist. That's...
awesome.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kylie Rogers.
And talking about all those other roles, I see, you know, you're also doing this what Landscape with Invisible Hand, which I'm so interested in what this is going to be, because I watched one interview, I guess, that you all had done behind it, and hearing about these aliens and kind of taking over the world through commercialism, I guess, is a way, you know, to put, like what can you tell me about this one? Because just from what the brief I've got so far, this sounds like it's going to be a really another interesting kind of follow up for you.
Yeah, it is. It's such an interesting film. Corey Finley wrote and directed it, and he's so extremely talented and kind-hearted. And it's interesting. It's a sort of romance, coming of age sci-fi movie with some aliens and some, I don't even know. It's another movie that's hard to describe, but it's so beautiful. It's really sweet. I feel like it's sort of like touches your emotions a little more maybe than Beau would. And it's just sort of about, I think on the outside, it's sort of just about like two kids trying to learn how to live in a world overrun by aliens, but not like in a violent physical way, and like an economical way.
Right. Are these the type of scripts that you're looking for these days?
I mean, in terms of scripts, I really just, I'm grateful to, I just happened to do two very interesting movies one after another, and I love them so much. I really like character-driven stories. I think they're so beautiful. And just what really speaks to me when I read a script is just if my character, I mean, others too, but like me, like if my character could like maybe speak to like one person who watches the movie and like makes them feel like better about something or like less alone or da da da, like then like that's what really speaks to me and like really is like, oh cool, like yeah, I want to do this. Or in terms of Beau, if a character's just fucking crazy, that's also what I really love.
It makes sense. And you know, and working in Yellowstone there too, because I see all the things that you're saying in that, you know, the story driven character and how you do that. I mean, I know it's been talked about a lot, you know, how you approach that, and it's not Beth of old, you know, it's its own sort of thing, yeah. Which is a really cool way to play that. But still seeing this person going from lost and terrified to angry and closed off, and you're the person who has to make that bridge somehow. Like, is that what type of acting is that for you? Like, how do you get it? How do you go through that with one character in such a way?
I've been on it since season one. So a lot of it is like, I did actually get to grow with this character and I did get to know this character. And I think everyone at some point in their lives can understand the feeling of like going from lost and sad and, you know, hurt and confused to just like angry and pissed off and like closed, shut down. You know, I think everyone has gone through that. I really just like could understand and like empathize with what she was going through, because she isn't just, I think I talked about this with Kelly Riley a lot as well, is like she's not just this like confident like badass bitch, like yeah she is, but like she's also on the inside a hurt, wounded like teenage girl, like in the most recent season where I'm playing her, and she's more Beth than we've ever seen her before. It's still important to keep that like vulnerable, wounded side of her that she's covering up with this anger and confidence and power. So I think it's just important to understand and empathize and really think about like the fact that I have grown with this character. Like I started when I was like 12, I think.
Like what a gift that is to get, yeah, to do that with a character. Yeah. And seriously, I mean, all these everything you're doing is so interesting right now, which by the way, that being its own world, Yellowstone, like now that it's world building on other, you know, spinoffs and everything, do you have the interest? Do you keep up with those at all? Do you have time to keep up with those?
I haven't had the chance. I've seen like a few episodes from like each, and they're brilliant and so cool and amazing. But I'm so bad at like watching TV series. I'm so bad at like starting and finishing them. I never get through them. But it's also because like I am like a little busy. Like I don't think anyone's ever too busy to like sit down and watch an episode of a show, but like I just get like so caught up in like other things and like I forget. But the other shows are so brilliant, and Taylor Sheridan's like, I don't know how he does it all. He's so talented. Wow.
So you don't have that need for closure, it sounds like, when it comes to
Don't, and I think because, like, especially with TV shows that I get, like, attached to, I don't want to finish them because I get too attached to them. So then I'm like, if I finish this, I'm going to be so sad. Mm-hmm. So if I just, a lot of the times I just won't watch the very last episode and I'm just like, that's my conclusion. Like, they lived happily ever after.
We do that around here on the stuff that we know about. My wife is, you know, like, her favorite movie of all time is Titanic. And like, we know how this is going to end unless you stop watching it right here. And then everybody sells on and Jack and Rose, they get married and live to happily ever after.
I do that all the time with movies that, like, I've seen before. I'll, like, stop before it gets said. I'm like, the end.
Well, I can't congratulate you enough, but Beau is Afraid. I'm looking so forward to The Landscape with Invisible Hand and everything you've done with the Yellowstone. Congratulations. It was so great to meet you on here. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much. It was so awesome to meet you.
And my thanks to Kylie Rogers. Beau is Afraid in theaters now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. Again, you do that, I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFBK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me in the old social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. My address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.